لا مال عندهم، أيكم يحب أن يغدو إلى بطحان أو إلى العقيق فيأتي منهما بناقتين كوماوين عظيمتين زهراوين في غير إثم ولا قطيعة رحم؟ ناقة سمينة عظيمة غالية الثمن، تتوفر فيها جميع الصفات، وتعلمون أن العرب لم يكن عندهم إلا الإبل، كانوا يتفاخرون فيها ويعتبرونها من أعظم الأموال وأنفسها. فقال هؤلاء الفقراء من الصحابة: كلنا يحب ذلك يا رسول الله. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: فلأن يغدو أحدكم إلى المسجد فيتعلم أو يقرأ آيتين خير له من ناقتين، وثلاث خير له من ثلاث، وأربع خير له من أربع، ومن أعدادهن من الإبل.
As to the teacher, Sheikh mentions that indeed that is a teacher of the Quran, a person that sacrifices his time to teach other people the recital or the memorization of the Quran, has indeed taken a very extraordinary path towards success. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith that khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu, that the best from amongst you is that one that goes and learns with regards to the recital of the Quran, and thereafter he goes and he teaches others. He does not keep this knowledge to himself. He goes and he empowers other people with the correct recitation and the knowledge of the Quran. As happened in an incident in the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the places, people that have went to Masjid al-Nabawi, outside in that particular time was a shed called a sufa, where the poor would reside in. If I can put it, for example, we call a soup kitchen. This was an area of basically a shelter where people that had no accommodation, the very poor, would come. And at the same time, there was two valleys that lied to the outside of Medina. And at these two valleys, there were two famous, if I can put it in our term, shopping centers. That is, there were two markets that lied in these two valleys. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were based or that were residing in the Sufa, that who from amongst you would like to go to this one of these two souks and come back with two camels of the highest quality. That is, it possesses all the characteristics of perfection. And for you to also understand that with the Arabs in that particular time, there was nothing more noble than having beautiful camels. That was the ultimate status of wealth. So they would all want to, they all replied to the affirmative that, O Prophet of Allah, we are all prepared to go and bring these two camels that you have asked us for. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for that person that hastens towards the masjid and recites two ayah or three ayah or four ayah is better than his camels in comparison to the camels, meaning that if you recite two ayah of the Quran in the masjid, it is better than you coming or possessing two camels with perfect characteristics. And if you recite three ayah, then it is better than having or possessing three camels with perfect characteristics, and so on.
وأما التالون لهذا القرآن فليبشروا بالأجر والمثوبة والحسنات الكثيرة التي لا يستطيع لها المرء عدا ولا إحصاء. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله كان له به حسنة، والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف، ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. بعث الحجاج بيوسف الثقفي قراء القراء، الحسن البصري وأبا العالية وعاصم الجحدري ومالك بن دينار ليعدوا حروف المصحف، فكانوا يعدون كل حرف بشعيرة، فصارت حروفه 23,315 حرفا. فلو الإنسان ختم القرآن كم سيكون له من الأجر والمثوبة؟ يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. من هم أصحاب القرآن؟ من هم أصحاب القرآن الذين تعلموه وتلوه وعملوه؟ انظر إلى هذا القرآن، ينهى المسلمين عن الربا، ينهى المسلمين عن الزنا، ينهى المسلمين عن الخمور والمخدرات والمسكرات والمفترات، ينهى المسلمين عن عقوق الوالدين، ينهى المسلمين عن شهادة الزور، ينهى المسلمين عن التبرج والسفور والنذرات المحرمة، ينهى المسلمين عن الشحناء والبغضاء والعداوة، ويأمرهم بالألفة والمحبة والأخوة، يأمرهم بمحبة أهل الطاعة، يأمرهم بالرحمة والشفقة، فهل عمل المسلمون بهذا القرآن؟ هل صار القرآن منهاجا لحياتنا ودستورا لأفعالنا؟ هل حكمنا هذا القرآن في حياتنا؟ هل جعلناه قائدا لنا؟ هل عمرنا بيوتنا بتلاوته؟ أم أننا عمرناها بما يفعل السفهاء من الأغاني والمجون ونحو ذلك والعياذ بالله؟
With regards to those people that constantly, or rather I would say regularly, recite the Quran, Shaykh says, good news to you, glad tidings to you. There is indeed a very great reward, and it is no use trying to explain to you the reward, because the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves for such people can really not be counted. An example is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for every letter that a person recites, a person is granted 10 rewards. And it is made very clear in this hadith that a letter is not alif, lam, mim, that is the entire word, but alif is a word, lam is a word, and mim is a word, and is a letter, an alphabet, and every alphabet a person would be granted 10 rewards. Sheikh says that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf sent or called all the famous reciters, from amongst them Hassan al-Basri and Malik al-Dinar radiallahu anhum, and he had instructed them to go and to count the letters of the Quran, to count the words of the Quran. So they took barley seeds and they began counting, and they finally reached a number of 323,015 words. So Sheikh says that this is words, we're not even talking of the alphabets. Try and calculate, multiply all that by 10, that what great reward lies there for you. And the Quran on the day of Qiyamah would be a form of protection and would most certainly intercede on behalf of the person that regularly recites the Quran. And then Sheikh says, do you want to be from Ashab al-Quran? That is, do you want to be from amongst the people that are called the Quran, that the Quran would defend them and protect them on the day of Qiyamah? That you need to begin to recite it regularly, to honestly practice upon it, and to ponder upon the meanings and the incidents that are mentioned in the Quran. The Quran, just few of the things, to see how it is protected, or it would protect our life and our society. It prevents us from riba, it prevents us from zina, it advises us, instructs us from staying away from alcohol and drugs and intoxicants. All these things that, whether it might be a Muslim or a non-Muslim society, they are all harmed by these presences in our society. They also advise towards completing the rights of parents with regards to staying away from what is haram, from monetary dealings, from you not to have enemies, but rather to exist in love and brotherhood, to love the pious. It also, the Quran has really, we need to ask ourselves a question. That we're proud of this Quran and we say we are from the people of the Quran, but have we really implemented it in our lives? Have we really got the yaqeen, the faith that this Quran has got the solution to all our problems? Do we really accept the Quran as being our constitution, without questioning whether the laws are suitable to our society or not? Have we asked ourselves that, have we established our homes? Is one of the pillars in our homes that keeps the roof up the regular recital of the Quran, or is it the music that is blasting from the sound system?
يأمرنا بصلاة الجماعة وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. يأمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحرب في القتال أن يقيم صلاة الجماعة في القتال، وإذا كنت فيهم فأقمت لهم الصلاة فلتقم طائفة منهم معك وليأخذوا أسلحتهم، فإذا سجدوا فليكونوا من ورائكم، ولتأتي طائفة أخرى لم يصلوا فليصلوا معك وليأخذوا حذرهم وأسلحتهم، ود الذين كفروا لو تغفلون عن أسلحتكم وأمتعتكم. في القتال يأمرون بصلاة الجماعة، ومع ذلك نجد الكثير من المسلمين يتهاون في صلاة الجماعة. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر، ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر، ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لقد هممت أن آمر بالصلاة فتقام، ثم أخالف إلى قوم لا يشهدون معنا الصلاة فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم بالنار. ويقول عبد الله بن مسعود: ولقد رأيتنا وما يتخلف عنها إلا منافق معلوم النفاق. ولقد كان الرجل يؤتى به يهادى بين الرجلين حتى يقام الصلاة. يا تاركا لصلاته، إن الصلاة لتشتكي وتقول في أوقاتها: الله يلعن تاركي. من ترك صلاة العصر فقد حبط عمله. فلنستعد لهذه الصلاة العظيمة، ولنربي أولادنا عليها، وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها. لما ذكر إسماعيل عليه السلام ماذا قال عنه؟ وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة. نعم.
One of the very very important instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the Quran is that of Salatul Jama'ah, of that of performing salah in jama'ah in the masjid. And understand, look at how important this salah of jama'ah is. We are not even talking of leaving out salah, we're talking of reading salah in the masjid. So you need to understand the seriousness of the other, of not reading salah at all. The importance of performing salah is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs that in the middle of battle, we are talking where the battle lines are drawn, and that the enemy is attacking and you are defending, or you are attacking and defending. It is not a time to leave your ranks. It is not a time to go and take a rest or to say, you know what, I am tired. And even under these conditions, in the midst of battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs that when it is the time for salah, you come and read your salah. Half the army, the Muslim army, would come and perform the salah, and the other half would continue, and thereafter they would swap over whilst they are busy in salah. To show the importance, Shaykh says, to understand, we are talking in the midst of battle, where your life is at risk, even under these circumstances, not just performing salah. We would say each one make individually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs that a person comes and makes salah with jama'ah in the battlefield while you are fighting. Thereafter, we find very, very sadly from amongst our believers, from amongst our fellow Muslims, that it has become so easy for us to leave salah out with jama'ah. To come to the masjid is really not taken as a great, to not come to the masjid is taken so lightly. And look at the words or the warning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is extremely burdensome for a munafiq, a true hypocrite, that he would come for Fajr and Isha Salah. But you'd find that they would come, if they only knew the benefit, they would come to the masjid even if they were crawling, even on their fours. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that it is only a munafiq that leaves Salah without jama'ah. That means if a person does not come to the masjid, he always recites on his home, there is fear that this person is not a true believer, he is a munafiq. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion instructed, said to the Sahaba, that if I had a choice, if I was not fearful for the weak, the children and the ladies in the homes, I would have instructed one of you to come and to stand in my place and be the imam for Salah. And thereafter I would instruct someone to collect firewood. And I would now go out to the homes of those people that perform their Salah in their homes, and I would instruct that their homes be burned down. Such is the sin. And Sheikh mentions with regards to the poem of Salah, and where the poet asked or puts forward this idea that Salah says that though that you have left me out for Salah, and it curses you that this person has not come for Salah. And on that as well, that whoever leaves out Salatul Asr, that is, you do not perform Salatul Asr, all your deeds become destroyed. And look at, Sheikh also says that you need to bring your children up, your family up with Salah. This is an instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. That instruct, educate, bring your children, your family up with Salah, and be patient with it. That is, do not give it up. Continuously, always make sure that they grow up with this idea of Salah. And Ismail alayhi salam was also praised or was saved from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what reason? That he was from amongst the people that performed Salah.
سعيد بن مسيب يقول ما فاتتني تكبيرة الإحرام خلف الإمام 40 سنة. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول من صلى 40 يوما لم تفته تكبيرة الإحرام مع الإمام كتبت له براءتان، براءة من النار وبراءة من النفاق.
سعيد بن مسيب, it is mentioned that he did not leave out mas salah, the first takbir, takbir al-ihram, that is the beginning of salah in the masjid, for 40 years. And as Sheikh mentioned the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person that recites 40 days of salah with jama'ah, without missing the takbir al-ihram, that is when the imam begins the salah, you are here for 40 days, that person is guaranteed safety with regards to iman, and first and got the glad tidings that he has no nifaq, no hypocrisy within him.
هذا القرآن يأمرنا أن نأمر بالمعروف وننهى عن المنكر. ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. ولكن بعض المسلمين يرى أخاه على الخطأ أو المنكر أو أنه مقصر في أوامر الله فلا ينصح ولا يوجه ولا يرشد ولا. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر ولتأخذن على يد الظالم ولتأطرنه على الحق أطرا أو ليوشكن الله أن يعمكم بعقاب ثم تدعونه فلا يستجيب لكم.
Sheikh says with regards to one of the important instructions of the Quran after you have discussed Salah is that of Amr al-Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, that is to establish good and to prevent evil. So sadly you see that whilst you see your fellow brother in sin, astray, doing something wrong, but you decide that you need to remain silent upon this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned that you would stop instructing good and preventing evil, that I fear that Allah would destroy you.
فالواجب علينا أن نتناصح فيما بيننا. الدين النصيحة بالكلمة الطيبة التي تقبل, ولا ينبغي ولا يجوز للمسلم أن يرى أخاه المسلم على المنكر فلا يأمره ولا ينهى.
It is wajib, it is compulsory upon a believer. As Sheikh says, الدين النصيحة. This deen is established by people advising each other with good words. That is, you need to know the proper methodology. You come to a person nicely. You do not become proud or haughty or arrogant or screaming and shouting. You need to treat this person with respect, but you need to advise him as well. And it is totally not acceptable in Islam that you see something wrong, that is your fellow brother involved in something wrong, and you decide to remain silent.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that it is better for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides a particular person on your hands through your action, through your advice, through your guidance. It is better than even the best of all camels.
والقرآن الكريم يأمرنا بإخلاص العبادة لله وحده لا شريك له. كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله.
In the Quran, one of the most important instructions is that it places above everything else sincerity in worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has revealed this Quran. For what reason? ألا تعبدوا إلا الله. That is, you do not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقد يقع من بعض المسلمين هداهم الله بسبب قلة العلم بعض الأخطاء في عبادة الله. ونعلم أن نياتهم طيبة ونعلم أنهم قصدهم طيب وأنهم يرجون ما عند الله من الأجر والثواب، ولكن يخطئون بسبب قلة المعرفة. فمن هؤلاء من شاهدناه يسجد لقبر، والسجود لا يجوز إلا لله، عبادة، أنت عبد لله، لا تتذلل ولا تخضع ولا تنحني ولا تركع ولا تعفر جبينك في التراب إلا لله سبحانه.